وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. الحمد لله. My most respected elders and dear friends, all praise belongs only and solely unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who has blessed us all with this great wealth of iman. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast on iman, take us away from this world with iman, and resurrect us again on the day of qiyamah with complete and perfect iman. Each and every single one of us to familiarize ourselves with our Islamic history. That person who understands and is cognizant of his history, then he will stay in touch with reality and he'll never lose their identity. Any person who forgets their history will soon lose their identity. So my beloved brothers, in this regard and with this in mind, how many of us truly understand the significance that the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in the life of the ummah at large? Do we understand this, its significance? Do we understand its merit and what impact it had in the lives of the ummah at large? Firstly, uncle, emotion, or the emotion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam underwent during the hijrah in itself, as our beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is leaving Makkah Mukarramah to the back roads, and the back road eventually meets up with the main road that's going back to Makkah Mukarramah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam breaks down into tears, becomes very emotional, and he addresses Makkah and he says, "Ya Makkah, ما أطيبك من بلد وأحبك إلي لولا أن قومي أخرجوني منك لما سكنت غيرك." He said, "Oh Makkah, what a wonderful city you are. What a beautiful place you are. You are the most beloved of any piece of land on this earth. You are the most beloved to me. If circumstances, you know, were not the way it was, and had it not been for my people throwing me out and kicking me out of you, I would have never settled on any other piece of land or any other place in the entire world." We all know the attachment that you and I have to Makkah Mukarramah, to Madinah Munawwara. Our hearts yearn, burn and desire the day we're leaving to return home. The intention is already made to return to Makkah Mukarramah. The intention is already made to return to Madinah Munawwara. So we can well imagine what must have been the emotion or the state of mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he is leaving Makkah Mukarramah and making this hijrah towards Medina Munawwara. So my beloved friends, the significance of this hijrah we can understand by the ayat of Quran al-Kareem that was revealed. Those ayat that were revealed post-hijrat are referred to Madani ayat. And those ayat that were revealed pre-hijrat are referred to Makki ayat. That is, ayat of the Quran al-Kareem that were revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. Nevertheless, there used to be correspondence that used to take place amongst the Muslims. So one day Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he writes a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. إِنَّهُ يَأْتِينَ مِنْكَ كُتُبٌ لَيْسَ لَهَا تَارِيخٌ. That we are receiving lots of correspondence. Obviously the capital was Medina Munawwara, and now lots of correspondence is going out because during the reign of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given lots and lots of futuhat, and the Islamic empire began to expand and expand and expand. So now Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he is voicing a concern, and the concern is legitimate. How do we now file all these correspondence that are coming to us, and how are we able to refer to them when need be, but we do not have a system of recording it? There is no Islamic calendar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, being the accessible person he was by nature, and this shows how good a leader he was, that he was open to suggestions from others. He gathered Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and he put them together, and he said, and he put in front of them a daunting task, that we now need to establish an Islamic calendar. But it's not a simple thing. It's a very, very important matter. Therefore, assist me and aid me and help me with your valuable suggestions. panel of Sahaba radiallahu anhum sat down, and the common thread or the theme around which suggestions came forth, many suggestions came forth. For example, the Islamic calendar should start from bi mab'athin nabi, from the moment that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam formally received nubuwwat and prophethood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second suggestion, bi hijratin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third suggestion, bi mawlidin nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth suggestion that came forth was bi wafatin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you get the idea. The idea was correct. Everything needed to revolve around the beautiful life of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but obviously around different events of his life. In the past, when you needed to equate an occasion, you'd equate an equation to an event. It wasn't like a particular, so for example, the year Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, in history it is commonly known as Amul Fil, the year of the elephants, the year that the armies of Abraha intended to attack Baytullah and destroy it and finish it and smash it to smithereens. And we all know what was the result of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows, when Allah protects, nobody can destroy. And that which Allah, when Allah protects, nobody can destroy. And that which Allah wants to destroy, nobody can protect. It happened then, it is happening now also, my beloved friends, to the news that comes from the different parts and corners of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his house. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. So every superpower of the world, every nation, every army of the world should read and understand, and every mu'min needs to understand these verses of the Qur'an Majeed. When Allah will protect, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the entire creation of the armies of Allah. The entire creation of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, we're digressing. So this is, you know, events and occasions were synonymous with the events that took place. So the year of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Amul Fil. Oh, for example, after the floods of Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, or after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam built the Baytullah and the Kaaba Sharif, etc. So, like this, Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, and each opinion that came forth. So, for example, Mawlidin Nabi, the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, there's difference of opinions. Some say Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was born on a Monday, others say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Friday. There were those that, so there was difference of opinions. There was also the aspect of bi wafatin Nabi, that the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this would have been most insensitive. Because the greatest tragedy that the ummah at large has ever seen or faced was the day Allah's beloved alayhi salatu wa salam made parda from this world and left this world. So therefore, to start the calendar on this note would have been insensitive, you know, absolutely. And then eventually they decided on bi hijratin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our calendar should commence from a very, very significant event that took place in the annals of Islamic history, and that was the noble migration of Sahaba and the golden migration of our beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu gave a few reasons. They said, number one, لِأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ فَرَّقَتْ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. Because hijrat was such a significant event that took place, it became the catalyst of differentiating between haqq, truth, and falsehood. Hijrat became the basis by which these both were differentiated. The second thing also was the honor Muslims enjoyed post-hijrat. They never enjoyed such honor pre-hijrat. Because we all know and we read, you know, repeatedly in our circles of ta'aleem, etc., the persecution, the hardship, the difficulties that the Muslims of Makkah Mukarramah underwent in those initial 10 to 13 years when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially began giving the da'wah to deen. And they also gave a very important suggestion, and they said, because now, after the hijrah, it became easy for the Muslims to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform their salah, etc., openly. The life of Makkah Mukarrama, it was done in secrecy. It was done in, where nobody would know what was happening. How much shukr shouldn't we make, my beloved friends, that our masajid are plenty and all over the place we find masajid. For us to dress in the sunnat libas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy. For us to maintain an Islamic identity within our country is wallahi a ni'mat of Allah. It is a boon and favor Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And for this we should be eternally grateful to Allah. But alas, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. How very few are there that make shukr to Allah and have understood this leniency and ease on which we practice our deen to even be a ni'mat of Allah. Oh my beloved friends, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were now able to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with ease. And the most important thing, it was after the hijrah that the foundations of Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were built. Isn't it your desire? I know it is mine to stand in front of the Rawdah Athar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and convey our salams. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya salatu wa salamu alayka ya habib Allah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya rahmatan lil alamin. It's all our desire to present ourselves in front of the Rawdah Athar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that haven't been, may Allah take you inshallah. And those of us that have been, may Allah take us repeatedly over and over again. So much so that hamara tamanna ye hai that our akhiri sons and our last breath be whilst we are conveying our salam inshaAllah. May Allah make that a reality in our lives. So my beloved friends, it was eventually decided that the calendar will start from this most significant event in the annals of Islamic history. Because the hijrah in itself, it brought forth a very important point that when this ummah will continue moving, you see flowing water, running water is tahir and mutahir, meaning in itself it is pure and it has the ability to purify things. If you take stagnant water, then it's impermissible for us to make wudu with that water. You can't drink the water because of health reasons. Then to make wudu with that water, not knowing if impurities, etc. have fallen, especially if it is little water, to make wudu and purify yourself with such water is a daunting task. But water that is continuously flowing, in itself it is pure and it will purify others. This ummah, as long as it continues moving and serving the deen of Allah, in itself Allah has kept honor in the hijrah. And Allah Ta'ala will bring honor, izzat, iffat, afiyat, respect. Allah will give it as long as we continue serving His deen, inshallah. May Allah accept us for the khidmat of His deen. Allah's beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us who is a muhajir. Al-muhajiru man hajara al-dhunuba wal-khataya. A muhajir, an immigrant, a migrant is that individual. One is to physically move from point A to point B. Like Sahaba did. They moved from Makkah, Mukarrama, they relocated in Medina, Munawwara. But the other hijrah is when a person abandons, because hijrah means to abandon, to leave. When a person abandons any and every form of vice, sin and transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam told us, this is a muhajir. That person who abandons all types of sin and every form of vice and transgression, he is considered to be a muhajir. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum went on further into the discussion. And the discussion centered around arba'ati ashhur. That is the four sacred months. Inna iddata ash-shuhuri 'indallahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah. That according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are 12 months in the year, but from amongst these 12 months, there are four months that are sacred to Allah. Thalathatun mutawaliya. Three come one after the other. That is, they follow each other. And one is the month of Rajab. So, Dhul-Qadah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, these are the three sacred ones, and the fourth making it the month of Rajab. There was one habit that the pagan Arab had. And this is referred to in the Quran as Nasi. What they would do was, they respected these months in absolute earnestness. They really revered these four sacred months, so much so that if a person had to meet with the murderer of his father, he wouldn't take revenge out of respect of these four sacred months. So one bright spark from the Kinana tribe, he came out with a brilliant idea. He said, no, يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا. He said, we can adjust the months. One year we'll make Muharram early, next year we'll make Muharram later. Like everybody wants December to be 12 months of the year, isn't it? So one month we'll make Muharram early, one month we'll make it later. And like this, they would change the sequence of the months till eventually in the culmination that the last Hajj, Hajjatul Wida' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, reassured Sahaba that Allah Ta'ala has brought time back to its original state, that this is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Because prior to this, there were changes back and forth, back and forth. Sahaba knew that they were performing Hajj, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam reassured them that there's no aage peeche in the time, there's no forward and backward in the time. This is the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and these are the days of Dhul-Hijjah, and this will remain right up until the day of Qiyamah. So one of the discussions was, with which month should we start the Islamic calendar? We all know now, alhamdulillah, we can say the month of Muharram. But at that time, there were different suggestions that came forth. So one suggestion that came forth was, we should start the month, or start the calendar with the month of Ramadan. Why? The best month of the year is which month? The month of Ramadan. The greatest night found in any night of the year is which year, which night? Laylatul Qadr, it is found in the month of Ramadan. So for all obvious reasons, and we're not going to go in depth with that discussion, but one of the suggestions that came forth, that the Islamic calendar needs to start from the month of Ramadan. It's important for all of us to understand this, my beloved. First thing we have to do is learn what the Islamic months of the year are. Probably we know one or two. Inshallah al-Aziz, it won't take a long time, but each one of us, young and old, whoever we are, inshallah, we should all try and learn the Islamic months off by heart. Just as we know January, February, March, likewise we need to learn Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awal, etc. Everyone seated here should know. So this is maintaining our Islamic identity. Equate our marriages, equate occasions in our homes and in our household to Islamic months. So if I have to ask you, when is your Islamic date of birth? Maybe a few will be able to answer that question. Leave the date. What is the month you were born Islamically? Very few able to. Inshallah, do some research after we're done, yeah? And try and figure it out. Which is your Islamic date of birth? The Islamic month you were married. Anybody knows the Islamic month in which they were married? Allah make it such, we all learn it, inshallah. So, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this discussion came forth that should start from the month of Ramadan. Another discussion that came forth, or another point that came forth, it should start from the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara at this time. And then there were those that gave the suggestion of Rajab, and eventually some gave the suggestion of the month of Muharram. So if you go back in time, if you rewind the clock, then we come to Dhul-Hijjah. And in Dhul-Hijjah, there were that group of individuals that came from Madinah Munawwara. It was known as Yathrib. They came to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj. And at this time, the pledge of Aqaba took place. And they gave the pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For what? They gave the pledge that they were prepared to house Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are prepared to protect him. And they are prepared to give everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is when this pledge took place. And the deal was struck that now, inshallah, the hijrat will start. In early Muharram, the hijrat started, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in started to make hijrah. So hijrah started from Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Muharram, early Muharram, and culminated in the golden arrival of our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. This, my beloved friends, marked that significant journey that took place on the basis of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It took place for what reason? For the deen of Allah to rise and shine. Sahaba left everything. They left their homes, they left their belongings, they left their property, only that which they could carry on themselves. They left all of that only for the pleasure of Allah. Today we are asked to, probably at the time of Salah, at that time, just to leave our home, or, you know, our workplaces, or jobs, or family, our leisures, not while, perform your Salah, come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then return to all your activities. Allah is not telling us to leave it. Allah is telling us to suspend it for a short while, and then return to our activities. Sahaba were told, leave their businesses. Sahaba were told, leave their homes. Imagine today somebody comes and tell you, and may Allah never ever make it such, that get out of your home. What are you going to do? Your whole life, some people have worked their entire life for that house. Some people have worked their entire life for them, first of all to purchase it, secondly to pay it off, thirdly to furnish it. Generations have lived in that home, and then all of a sudden you're told, leave. Imagine what the people of Palestine are going through, and their homes are being bombarded on a daily basis. As that gham, that worry, that cry come into our heart, Allah grant them nusra. Allah, you protect them. Allah, you save them. My beloved brothers, this was what Sahaba had to do for the pleasure of Allah. They had to leave all of that. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُوا. Oh, insan, for one second you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just when you said, okay, I'm a Muslim, I brought iman, I've recited La ilaha illallah, there's no test that going to come to me. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah tested those before you, Allah will test you also. And through these tests, the truthful ones from the liars will become absolutely apparent and exposed. Daily, my beloved friends, we go through many examinations in our life. Allah forgive us, many of them we are failing constantly on a daily basis. The examination of the eye, is it looking at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to look at? The examination of the ear, are we listening to that which Allah wants us to listen to? The examination of the mind, are we thinking about things that are permissible or impermissible? So, my beloved, this is our identity. This is who we are as Muslims. As Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, one afternoon, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to our home. And he came at such a time that was not his normal tarteeb. He wouldn't come generally at this time. And we knew something very, very important is about to take place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to excuse Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, to ask them to leave. And then he explained to him, permission has come from Allah. And the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the order has now come that we need to migrate, we need to make hijrat. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr being the man that he was ready. He was ready in advance, waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Already had the camels and all of these things ready, and waiting to take Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to travel with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes walking in front, sometimes walking in the back, sometimes on the right, sometimes on the left. He says, Abu Bakr, what's up? Said, O Nabi of Allah, if any attack comes from the right, I will repel it. If any attack comes from in front of you, O Nabi of Allah, I will repel it. If anyone tries to attack you from the left, O Nabi of Allah, I will shield you. And like that, he used to walk behind him. This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Have we used our health, wealth and time for the khidmat of Allah's deen? In which way have we served Allah's deen? The deen of Allah, wherein fires of Jahannam are burning around us. People are coming out of the deen of Islam. People have not seen the masjid. Months have gone. Months have gone, my beloved friends. There's no, forget Jummah Salah. There's no Salah at all in their home. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the occasion of Khandaq. On the occasion of Khandaq, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made bad-dua. For who? For the enemy. مَلَأَ اللَّهُ بُيُوتَهُمْ وَقُبُورَهُمْ نَارًا. Why? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was upset. Because the intensity of the battle reached such a peak that four Salah were missed. Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And Isha, ulama say, was read very, very late. Because of the
intensity of the battle, these four salah became qaza. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so saddened and upset with this, that he made bad dua for the kuffar, who were the means of salah becoming qaza. What happens to that individual who becomes himself the means of his namaz becoming qaza? Or himself becomes the means of missing namaz, salah upon salah, and salah is not the whole of deen. So one simple example we give, on the basis of which we are able to test and see what levels we are at. Person has a temperature, you put a thermometer in his mouth, take it out, it gives you a reading. This is his temperature. The wind is blowing, by means of a barometer, you are able to judge what's the knots of wind that is blowing. How are we able to judge our iman? How are we able to see what the levels of our iman are? When our good deeds will please us, and our evil deeds will displease us. Whenever we do good, you get happy. That is a sign of iman. And whenever we do bad, it displeases, it makes us upset, it makes us, I disobeyed Allah. The reality of a wrong should become evident and apparent in our life. We should make tawbah. So when a man is doing good, bad, everything is the same to him, then what is the level of such a person's iman? So my beloved brothers, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she eventually from her coat, she tore a piece and she used it to tie the food with which her father and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will eat from. This is some call her Dhatun Nataqin, the one of the two straps. Because she used it to tie the food with which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use to travel whilst they were undergoing the journey of Hijrah. Like this, Nabi Sallallahu would give Sahaba lots of titles. And they loved the titles that he would give them. Ali radiallahu anhu. One day Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. There was some, misunderstanding, husband and wife. These things happen. It happened to the best. It happened to the best. But it's how we deal with it in our lives that defines us as Muslim men and Muslim women. Understand? We will always go through ups and downs in our marital life. There'll be good, there'll be bad. Every rose, all the roses have thorns also. So, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he left the house. Where he went? If people are having problems in their home, the men are leaving their houses and they are going to places of haram. Women are leaving their homes, they're going to places of haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, father-in-law, he comes to visit his daughter. Where's Ali? Ali radiallahu anhu is not here. This is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha said, he's not here, he's in a masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the masjid. He sees Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he's lying down. Today's father unfortunately, what you did to my son, what did you do to my daughter? And now he takes a small thing and he blows it up. And he makes it such that this minor argument or this little misunderstanding, unfortunately my friends, becomes a means of talaq happening today in houses. Because we blow up everything, we amplify everything. Instead of looking for solutions, we find more problems. And instead of filling the hearts and the minds of our children with khair and good, one small argument, so many years you married, come on. Instead of giving good advice, we are giving bad advice. May Allah make us good parents. May Allah make us good in-laws also. It's another important dua. As much as we make dua for good children, we have to make dua for good in-laws also. Good daughter-in-law, good son-in-law, so that the families are kept together. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the masjid. He sees Ali radiallahu anhu lying down, and he nudges him. He tells him, "Qum ya Abu Turab." He says, "Oh, dusty man, stand up." "Oh, dusty man, stand up." Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu opens his eyes. He who's this nudging me? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes nice, and he takes him back home, and he repairs whatever, was the problem in the marriage. These are the father-in-laws we need to become. These are the fathers we need to become, inshallah. To increase the love and muhabbat in the lives of our children, and in the lives of our own lives as spouses are concerned. But nevertheless, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, that from all the names people call me, I like the name Ali, but I love the name Abu Turab more, because my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me this title. So Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she she assisted in the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they reached Medina Munawwara. And this, my beloved friends, in a nutshell, we can't do justice to it in half an hour to explain such a significant event in our Islamic history. But it's something you, inshallah, should read up upon and understand the significance. Remember, this alhamdulillah is the month of Muharram. Anybody knows what year we're in? 1447. That is the year we're in. 1447. So 1447 years away from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved friends, there are two types of ibadah that we do in this month of Muharram. More specifically on the 10th of Muharram. One is the fast, which will fast on the 10th of Muharram, a day before or a day after together with the 10th. The other is spending on one's family. Man wassa'a ala iyalihi wassa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi, or kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. That person who spends lavishly on his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him barakah in his sustenance. Apart from these two actions, there is no other deed, there is no other amal, there is nothing else that we do. Whatever we do in deen, there should be reference for it. So let's say, for example, a person recites the Qur'an and Majid. And we know for every letter that he recites, he will get one hasana. That is 10 good deeds. And every hasana is equivalent to 10 good deeds. Person performs salah, he'll get this and this reward. Person gives charity, he'll get that reward. So for everything, we need a reference. So any ibadah that we want to do, we refer to the ulama. Wallah, I'm doing this. Is it permissible? Can I do it? And any ibadah that you do should have a reference for what we are doing, inshallah. So in the month of Muharram, my beloved brothers, we do that which will be, it is Shahrullah al-Muharram. Ulama say the month of Muharram is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not do any such thing that is displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah. Tomorrow also you will hear more about the month of Muharram. And inshallah, whoever will be speaking, Mufti Sahib, whoever else will be speaking to you, inshallah, they will educate you more on that. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.